Welcome to Close Up Radio, where our hosts, Doug Llewellyn and Jim Masters, bring you the amazing stories of people who answered the call to unlock their potential and taken control of their own success with authenticity, creativity, persistence, and resilience. Close Up Radio special guests share their knowledge and wisdom so you, the listener, can live the most empowered life possible. Close Up Radio. And now, here's today's host, Doug Llewellyn.
Well, hi, everybody. We welcome you back to Close Up Talk Radio. Nice to have you with us again. We're excited because Vered Lerner is back with us. She was a guest a week ago. Maybe you heard that broadcast. Hopefully you did. She's an amazing, amazing lady. A consultant. She's a business coach and advisor. She's a mentor. And she's a highly sought-after public speaker. She owns a company called BizStance Services, which is headquartered in Thornhill, Ontario, in Canada. And the best way to describe what she does, it's a full-service concierge-style management consulting agency that provides business consulting, coaching, and corporate training, as well as many business services that are all delivered project-based on a la carte. It's an amazing, amazing story about what Vered does and her business. As she puts it, she founded it and designed this business model based on her many years of research and market analysis and progressive hands-on experience identifying universal deficiencies in operations. She likes to apply a holistic approach to help businesses on strategic solutions for more efficiency, for saving money, and for increased productivity and revenue. And if a company can achieve that, then obviously that's something they are all interested in doing. Anyway, we had a fascinating discussion here on Close Up Talk Radio a week ago. We're going to continue that discussion today with Vered, and it's a real delight to have her back with us today. Vered, welcome back to Close Up Talk Radio. Nice to have you here. How are you today?
Thank you. Yes, I'm very well, thanks. Hope you are too. Glad to be back.
Well, listen, we're very happy to have you here, and I know there's some people who did not hear that previous broadcast. So let me just talk to you a little bit about the company and your background and what prompted you to start this company. I love the name BizStance Services. How did you come up with that name? That's very BizStance Services. How would you explain that? What does that mean? What are people supposed to get out of the name when they hear that? BizStance Services.
Yeah, great question. I get it all the time. And it's very simple when you actually break it down. So the first part is biz, obviously for business. The stance is really about taking a stand for your business, is understanding and also standing up for what you believe and positioning your business in a way that keeps you relevant to your core values and your mission and your vision and showing everyone what you're all about. So it's your biz stance.
That's very good. Very creative. Good for you. So you are a coach, obviously, but you work primarily with businesses rather than individuals. Would that be appropriate, and am I correct in that?
I work with both. As part of BizStance, obviously, we cater to businesses, corporations, nonprofits, organizations, but we also work with individuals. I personally work with individuals when it comes to either their interest in starting a business or functioning well within their business. And also with the personal development, I work with individuals all the time on their emotional intelligence, on their soft skills, life skills, and communication. I also do a lot of coaching and consulting on presentation skills, effective listening, storytelling. So I have different ways that I work with individuals one-on-one, but we also take those things into the business place to work with individual employees. If they're struggling, if a company sees that there is someone who is not functioning the way that they used to, you know, it could be anything and everything that can contribute to somebody kind of falling off the grid. But we go in there to find out what that reason is and give them back the power, empower them with the ability to rise up and to see where they can go from there.
Well, that's good. It's good to know that. And let me ask you a simple question. I know one of your passions is, and you focus on a lot, is on emotional intelligence. which you say is the foundation for both healthy personal and business relationships, which really ends up and results in a better quality of life. Talk a little bit about that. I haven't heard too many coaches and consultants talk about emotional intelligence. What do you mean by that?
Mm-hmm. So emotional intelligence is really awareness of yourself, and it's more than that. It's understanding the awareness of how others perceive you. And we might think that we're great. We might think that we're personable and likable, and we're, good listeners and really great friends and partners. But other people may have a different idea of what we're like. And if we're oblivious to that, we can continue doing what we're doing, thinking that everything is okay, but it really isn't. So the emotional intelligence comes with the ability to do a lot of introspection, to look at how we are being viewed, to look at what we think of ourselves, what others think of us, and understanding us from a different level. And then that way we're also able to apply that and understand others and the way that the two relate. So it's personal awareness, it's social awareness, and then it's being able to combine the two. And this really contributes not just to business but to life in general, because we have relationships with so many different people, whether they're personal or people we just meet or bump into. But in the workplace, the statistics show that people with a higher EQ, emotional intelligence, far outperform those with a higher IQ just because they can relate to situations more effectively, and they can relate to others and build relationships and increase their performance and their productivity with whatever it is that they're doing. So there's a huge lack of understanding around the importance of emotional intelligence and how we can really enhance our lives by developing that ourselves.
And if you can do that, obviously it helps the business and the company that you're working for. I mean, they're really tied together. No question about that. Let's talk a little bit about some of the challenges that business leaders are facing in today's workforce. You are, the co-author of a book called Boom, the Top 10 Business Coaches Share Their Tips to Explore Your Business Growth, which is, a great credit for you. So in that thought, let's face some of the challenges that leaders face in the modern business office today. What are some of those things? How would you answer that?
Mm-hmm. So thank you for mentioning the book. It is a collaboration with 9 other top coaches. My chapter happens to be on the heart and mind of business and success, and it really breaks down the factors of success for business. And again, it touches on personal life as well, but it all boils down to understanding our why and understanding why we're doing what we're doing. And that's not just for business owners, but it's also for employees and for leaders within the companies. There has to be, some direction and some support. There has to be a reason for people to go in and love what they're doing and enjoy seeing the fruits of their labor. And I think some of the things that are missing or some of the challenges that leaders are facing today is that millennials and Gen Zs are opposed to the older, more traditional, way of doing business and the way that they're being managed. I think that, there's a lot of maybe oppressive leadership with micromanaging and leaders not understanding that people are their greatest assets and they need to invest in their talents. So what employees are looking for is acceptance, appreciation. They have to work on their mindset and their behavior. And they're looking for, like I said before on the previous episode, is that they're looking for true leaders who produce new leaders. And that comes with understanding. That comes with the relevance and the relation to the people that they're working with. They have to look at, fresh perspectives and approaches and close those cultural gaps, the me versus we, right? We're not in there just for ourselves. We're in there for a bigger purpose. So those are just some of the challenges that leaders are facing. And when they understand those challenges, they're able to address them and solve them.
Let's talk a little bit about the difference when COVID came in and closed down so many businesses and people, you know, companies had to face the fact that employees couldn't come into the office and they started working remotely. And now things are changing a bit. Many employees are coming back into the office. Big companies are, you know, they want employees to come back, but employees have found they love working remotely. How do you talk to business owners who are facing this issue of having employees working remotely and the difference between remotely working and coming into the office? Do you deal with that very often? Is that a subject you're faced with today in this day and age?
Definitely. And we've been faced with this subject prior to COVID. And as I've mentioned on the previous episode, and we did say we were going to follow up on this, is that prior to COVID, and we had no idea that it was coming, I was already working with clients on transitioning to some form of remote work, some flex time, you know, part-time working from the office and then other times working outside of the office. And the companies that were on board, that were open to it and that actually prepared for that did very well during COVID because they had already put systems in place for that. And the ones that were opposed to or, you know, reluctant to do it or didn't want to take action, they're the ones who suffered. And some of them, unfortunately, weren't able to make it to recover from what happened during COVID. But now that things are, you know, sort of coming back to a new kind of normal, it's really an understanding, again, of the leadership to take a look and see what works and what doesn't, because there are certain jobs where absolutely you need to be in the workplace to do, and others where you have that autonomy to be able to let people work from the comfort of their own home or from a different location. Again, it has to be systemized in a way where there is some sort of accountability, some sort of control, but when you believe that the people working for you have good intentions and know what they're doing, then you can trust them to be able to get the job done. So you don't have to micromanage, you don't have to watch them all the time. And there are laws around this as well as to how much you can oversee, how much you can, you know, control. But for the most part, people that are working from home are still doing their job. They're still showing that they are productive. So there's no reason to force them to come back full time unless there are, and every situation is unique. So unless there are circumstances where they must be there, then there is always a common ground. And I'm not discounting being face to face in an office and having those relationships. There should be a balance, right? So if you're from home or from another location, then there are times where you need to come in for meetings. You need to have these, you know, group interactions, you need to have bonding. Sure, absolutely. And it is, there is a lot of importance on that face-to-face interaction because you can't do everything from behind a screen. But there are times when you're focused on your own tasks and doing your own work that some people thrive in their own environment and not being surrounded by others and having that quiet space to do what they need to do. So there is a balance. I do work with striking that balance, and again, everything is a case by case, and one, you know, it's not a one size fits all. One thing that works for company A is not going to work for company B, so you have to kind of take a look and assess the situations.
Well, it's very interesting. I know there are a lot of employees who've been willing to leave companies because they didn't want to go back, you know, to the office and work there, and they can find jobs fairly easily out there today. There, you know, there's so many openings in companies for employees because they like working remotely at home. But on the other hand, creative companies find that they get much more creative, responses and input from their employees when they're in the office working and working with each other. So it's I guess a lot of it depends on what kind of work the business is involved in. Do you think that's true?
Yeah, and like I said before, it really depends on the situation, on the company itself, and on the different jobs, because not every job is equal, and sometimes you have to be with other people, like you say, to get creative work done. If you're working on projects that involve a team, if you have to take a look at different scenarios, if you have to practice together, you know, if you have to give group presentations and things like that. But it doesn't have to be that you need to be there all the time. It could be, like I said, a combination of some in-house and some external that you can see what works. But yes, there are jobs out there, a lot more now remote jobs available than there were before. And I think that's because companies saw that it can be done. Before, it was a question of can we not? And now we know absolutely we can work remotely. So that's why so many more remote jobs are popping up. But again, I have to caution against leaving a job just because they're forcing you to go back into the office, because it doesn't mean the next company you work for, even with a remote job, that you won't have to travel and go back in. So, you know, you have to, the grass isn't always greener on the other side is what I'm trying to say, and you have to do your due diligence and see what the ultimate expectations are going to be before jumping from one job to another.
You know, it's interesting. Prior to COVID, working remotely was not something that was a lot of people were able to do. But that really has kind of changed, I guess, since COVID. Do you think businesses have experienced a change that they're going to have to live with from now on? I mean, is working remotely going to be something that people are going to be able to do well into the future? It's kind of changed the way businesses operate, hasn't it?
Mm-hmm. And with the technology that's available to sustain that, I think it's just going to continue to grow. And businesses are also seeing that they can save money by doing that, because if they can have a smaller office, they can save on the overhead. If they set their employees up properly with a home office, or if they can arrange for other remote locations that are less expensive, then they can definitely do that. And with AI now, I mean, AI is not going to replace everyone, but it is able to help to facilitate these remote workers. And so, you know, you're looking at the pros and cons again of what it is, whether to have people in the office or whether to have them work remotely. But companies are transitioning a lot more than they were before, because they were forced to see the possibilities. So, like I said before, change is hard, but we need to embrace it, because we are evolving as business owners. We're evolving with technology. We're evolving with different scenarios and also the abilities and capabilities that are out there to support those things.
You know, I'm just wondering if this has changed in a way the way you work with people. You know, I'm obviously individuals would have come to you. Maybe they're not making the advances in their career that they wanted to, and they come to someone like you to help guide them and coach them on their careers. Have you found that you have to work differently with individuals who now are not working in the office? They're working out of their home, and they may be frustrated in what's going on with their work. I just wondered if that's something that you've had to deal with in your coaching practice.
Mm-hmm. That's a big part of what we do. Because working in an office environment is much different than working at home. When you're at home, yeah, you don't have, like I said, a micromanager. You don't have someone to keep you accountable all the time, watching over you. And some people thrive under that leadership, and some people don't. So it's finding out how a person needs to be managed and how much interaction they need with their leader or with their team or, you know, with the office, and figuring out what works for them and what doesn't. And I think that, you know, when it comes to career changes or advancement, you really have to see where you shine. And, you know, as an employee, as an executive, there are different ways of working. And like I said, one size is not going to fit all. So what can we put in place to support those different personalities? It's just like in school when students have independent education plans, you know, you assess their situation. Sometimes there is a diagnosis, sometimes there isn't. But if they have some sort of, you know, need, special needs that they have, a disability or whatever, then you put those extra supports in place. And it's the same thing in the workforce, because as you grow from child to adult, those things don't change. So if you had a problem, you know, when you were young, you're still going to have that problem unless it was addressed and rectified. as an adult, and this is where I work with the HR departments and the leaders to identify those issues and to support their workers. And when you're working alone, much different, and you may not be able to voice, or you may not even know what your issues are. So when you see a person struggling, then you need to go in and have that conversation and say, what can we do to address these concerns and to set you up for success? So we found that there was more awareness and more things came to light with the time when people started working from home. Because when they were in the office, it might have been masked or maybe it fell through the cracks. But now that they're working alone, it's easier to identify when there is a problem.
Do you also think people can be as successful in a corporation if they're not in the office, you know, interacting with the boss personally, visually, on a daily basis, so the boss can see them and you know, chat with them and learn how hard they're working when they're not in the office? I guess the question is it harder to be a successful employee if you're working at home, just as well as it harder to be a good boss if your employees are not in the office and they're working remotely? It's two different stories, I guess. How about that?
They are two different stories. They're two different situations. And I think when it comes to trust and accountability, those things have to work hand in hand. I think when you hire somebody, you're hiring them based on their qualifications and their credentials and their past performance and the indicators that they're going to be good employees for you. So you have to trust them whether or not they're in the office to do what they need to do. And if they have a job description and if they have expectations, they need to meet those things and they need to prove that they're doing what they're supposed to be doing. I think, you know, for some people, it might be a little bit hard to let go of that control as a manager, as a leader, to not be able to see somebody all the time. But there's always Zoom and there are other, you know, applications out there that will allow you to interact with your staff and with your team and with your leaders face-to-face and by, you know, virtually by a camera. I happen to interact with people from all over the world and I see them. It's not like they're hiding behind a screen. We're having a conversation as if it was face-to-face. And yes, it's not that personal touch, but you can still see the body language. You can still see the surroundings unless they're putting on, you know, one of those backgrounds. But you can have that the open communication is what really matters. And again, the KPIs, key performance indicators, and the measurable results, you have to see if somebody performed at a certain level now, are they still performing at that level or is it dropping or increasing when they're working from home? And vice versa, some people work really well from home and then they're forced to go back into the office, productivity drops. And there could be various reasons for that, but when we understand where we're coming from, we have a place to gauge it from, then we can see what needs to be done.
That's a great answer. Very good answer. You know, BizStand Services offers what you describe. You offer three main different services: coaching, consulting, and corporate training. I just want to ask you, what's the difference between coaching and consulting? How would you answer that?
So consulting is when we take away the pressure of decision-making and the research from the client. So we go in, we take a look at what the problem is, we assess it, we come up with solutions, we present it to the client and say, we believe, and these are your options, that it's either A or B, which one would you like to go with, and we recommend this one. And then they choose what they want to go with. So it's really, you know, taking all of that pressure off of them. And with coaching, it's different because we still know where we want to lead them to, what kind of decision we want them to make, but here we're more educating. We are asking a lot of questions. We're leading them down a path. And, you know, on the last episode when I was talking to Jim, I kind of lost the word, but when you go bowling and you have the guards that prevent you from going into the gutter, prevent the ball from going into the gutter, then that's what we are. We are your guards. We're there to protect you and we're there to make sure that you're staying on track and going in the right direction. We are also your biggest cheerleaders. We're your accountability buddies. We're there to hold your hand throughout the process. So coaches are great for people who want to develop, who want to get to that level with an understanding of how they're getting there and why they're getting there, and figuring out those ways for themselves rather than having it, you know, handed it to them on a silver platter. So those are the differences between coaching and consulting. And I think, you know, with the corporate training, we're providing it on a bigger level, on a holistic level, to those who need it at all different levels within the company.
Very good. Very good. Complete services you provide. Also, you help companies, business systems really is a category that you help companies with. Describe a little bit more about what that encompasses. I gather it's many different things in how the company functions that that you can help them on. Would that be right?
Yes, it is. So business systems is not just about going in and taking a look at, you know, what systems they're using electronically and what computers they're operating on. It's really about what we do as a whole. It's simplifying and then systemizing and automating. And that means that we take a look at the operations and we simplify it so that they have an understanding and a clarity about who they are and what they're doing. It looks at their branding. It looks at the efficiency and productivity. Because when you put things in place and everybody knows what they're doing and that they're doing it the right way, they're using the same language, they're sending the same messages, everything becomes more unified. The productivity goes up, the revenue goes up, the efficiency goes up, and there's less duplication of work, less things fall through the cracks. So it's really about, you know, simple and clean scales and then complicated and difficult sales. You can't scale something that you're doing manually. It has to be automated. There's a difference between growth and scaling. So, you know, growing is just growing, and you can do that by nurturing the business and adding things here and there. But when you're scaling it to a bigger, you know, level, then you do need some automation in place. So the systems that we put in are also internal in terms of forms and all kinds of different ways that people work in the same way. And that could be templated, it could be scripts, it could be lots of different things. But, you know, putting it together in a way where everyone can access the same information easily with an understanding and creating that company culture helps the business grow to a level that they haven't seen before.
That's very interesting, to say the least. We've been talking to Vered Lerner. Vered is the founder of BizStand Services. She's based in Thornhill, Ontario, in Canada. By the way, she has a great website. Make a note of this. It's Biz, B-I-Z, Stance, S-T-A-N-C-E.com. Very simple, BizStance.com. If you're interested in learning more about the company, what they do, obviously that's where you can go to get in touch with them. Let me ask you a question. You're in Ontario. I know you have clients, as you pointed out, literally all over the world. But working with companies, do they have to be in Canada, or do you work with companies in the States as well? How about that?
I work with companies all over the world, including the U.S., Europe, Australia, the Middle East, everywhere.
Really? It's amazing you can do that and be so effective all over the world. That's terrific. Well, listen, I want to thank you for taking the time to be with us today, Vered. It's been very interesting, and I know you do provide complete services for companies. And again, the best way for them to get in touch with you is through that website, bizstance.com, BizStance.com. I want to thank you for taking the time to be back with us again, and good luck to you, okay? It's been a great having you as our guest.
Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. You are very, very welcome. Well, I hope you enjoyed that, ladies and gentlemen. Vered and her company do outstanding work with individuals as well as with companies. And, again, the most important thing for me to relate to you is how to get in touch with her, and it's through bizstanceservices.com. Thank you so much.
You have been listening to a broadcast from Close Up Radio, a division of Close Up Television Incorporated. For more information about our show and to be considered for future broadcasts, please visit closeuptelevision.com. You may also learn about us on social media and listen to us on podcast and internet radio. Thank you for joining us, and we hope that you have an empowered and productive day.
Again, that address is bizstance.com. Just bizstance.com. Bye-bye.